Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey, great to be with you on this Tuesday, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department that makes all the difference from routine to difficult. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, so we're going to take an early break because, Todd, I just don't want to have anything that gets in the way of Matt steamrolling down the hill at 500 miles an hour.
He might slip and fall around here today if he goes that fast.
No, I'm telling you right now, he will not. That nothing deters him when he is on a rant roll, and he leads the league in rant rolls.
I was going to say, I've learned plenty over 6 weeks. That might be number one. Don't stop him.
I mean, look, he's on a roll. Let's let him keep going. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with what should be a very entertaining 15 minutes here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Hey, just let me know when he's ready. That way I can brace myself.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he hasn't quite called yet.
No, believe me. And he'll be on a roll today. What did you think of what Ray Dittinger said yesterday about the state of the NFL, Todd?
I kind of agree with him. I get why they want to go, you know, to places like Brazil and to England, but I totally agree with him. I think the officiating was horrible. I think there's plenty of things to work on at home here in the NFL with the way some of the stuff, you know. I mean, how do you handle the quarterback play, things like that, and some of the problems they had?
Well, the Brazil thing, to me, if you want to play preseason games, I'm fine with that. But I'm sorry. This country is what made the sport what it is. Right? Yeah, you know, but if you want to play preseason games in Brazil, preseason games in Germany, a preseason game in England, fine. Australia, I don't care. But I don't, I'm with him. This is America's game. Okay? And America's game is where it is today because of America. You always take care of your house first. And the NFL, in its stated goal to be a $25 billion industry, is catering too much to everybody else. I think I hear him in the background.
I was going to say, Matt is here.
No, he's throwing objects. I mean, so it tells you right away what's going on. He's throwing things.
This will, even if they win this game next year, I will still never be happy about it, Steve. You're absolutely right. Pronto.
I mean, I'm sorry. You can't, to me, this, they're playing games all over the place, and they could care less about jet lag for players or anything like that. It's all about marketing the brand. Well, there are ways of marketing the brand, but guess what? Okay, guess what home base is? Okay, now, I know Philadelphia is supposed to have 9 home games next year. Eagles fans should be the ones that get to watch that game in Philadelphia when the weather, by the way, is nicer than in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Exactly right. And then here's the other thing the NFL is trying to jam down your throat. So they announced over the weekend at the Super Bowl that they're adding a game in Spain now next year. Right. And as they're coming back from commercial break a couple of times, the CBS broadcast had a couple of different cams, I guess, like one in one in Brazil, one in Germany, I think, and a couple different places around the globe watching. Well, of course they are. It's the Super Bowl. I mean, it is America's game, but everybody watches the Super Bowl. So if you're trying to convince me about how the game is growing by saying everybody's watching the Super Bowl, you're not going to. Put those cameras in there like week three when there's no games in that particular part of the world, then you'd be talking to me. But guess what? It's not happening.
Right. And I just, to me, every time this happens, to me, it's a slap in the face to the American fan base. You know, I mean, you are where you are. And Major League Baseball is now doing this with games in England. Like, forget it. You know, it's like, what, to sell more hats?
Exactly. Exactly right. Like, more Yankee hats or Dodger hats when they're the most worn hats ever, and probably three-fourths of the people that wear the hats don't even know who Derek Jeter is.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that drives me nuts, too.
Okay, I don't want to slow you down.
Well, you got me warmed up, so I do appreciate that. So, keeping this related to the Super Bowl, there wasn't, I mean, other than the first half, there wasn't really a whole lot to complain about the game itself, except for this thought from Kurt Warner afterwards, talking about how San Francisco players apparently didn't know the new playoff overtime rules. He says, I know people making a big deal of San Francisco players not knowing the new OT rules, and I get it in parentheses, but serious question and looking for thoughtful answers. Whether you know or not, how does that change how one plays in that moment? What bearing does that have on situational football as a player? Well, hello, if you're looking at situational football, it's about the situation. What is the situation in the game at that point? The game is on the line. So of course you have to know. You can't be in situational football unless you know the situation. Yeah, you can know about third down, fourth down, red zone. Yeah, that part I get. But what the ultimate goal is about, winning the game. And if you don't know how you can win the game, it doesn't matter. So no, don't give me any excuses about that. Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers should have been better prepared and known about the new overtime rules. Plain and simple. I just thought that was one of the stupidest things Kurt Warner has ever said, and I like Kurt Warner a lot. I liked him as a player. I like him as an analyst, but I don't know where he was thinking on this one. I'm sorry.
Well, see, here's the problem I have with what the Niners did. You know, and the fact that they don't know what, you know, the players saying we didn't know. Of all the teams, Baltimore and San Francisco are both the teams that had the first round bye. So it wasn't like they were going from a regular season game and directly into a Saturday postseason game like, say, Green Bay did or whatever. They had the extra week where they could give the players a few days off, and then you could go through, hey, look, and take a day and part of a day and say, okay, now we're going into the playoffs, guys. When we get to overtime, we're going to do a walkthrough here. This is how we're going to handle it. Okay? We want the ball. Bad choice. But we want the ball. All right? And, you know, we need to accomplish this. If we don't accomplish it, this is what we need to stop, because the rule is different in the postseason than the regular season. And you have exponentially more time than any other team in the playoffs except for Baltimore to go through that situation with your team, and it sounds like San Francisco didn't even bother, right? And that goes to the head guy.
No question. It just adds to the excuses land to this franchise of why they don't win these big games.
Well, I will say Dan Patrick's commentary was excellent, because Dan Patrick did talk about, hey, look, sometimes it takes a coach a while to win a game like this. He said Andy Reid is a perfect example. There are other guys like that. John Madden won a Super Bowl and he parlayed it into a great life, right? But John Madden, it took him a long time. He could not get past Pittsburgh in the AFC. Just couldn't get past him. Finally got past him, he won a Super Bowl. Tom Landry. It took Tom Landry years where he'd get the loss to the Packers twice in the NFL championship game, right? Then they stuttered a little bit. Then they lost Super Bowl V, and the whole knock on him was he couldn't win the big game. Right? At some point, all the tumblers will fall into place for Kyle Shanahan, and I think he's got an opportunity to win it. But I thought Dan Patrick. Now, I added on to Dan Patrick, you know, because he talked about Andy Reid. But, like, Tom Landry was like that. Okay? John Madden was like that. I mean, there's a long list of coaches who were like that. And I'll be honest with you, Don Shula was like that. Don Shula was the head coach in Super Bowl III that lost to the Jets. And then they lost Super Bowl VI with the Dolphins. Right? And they finally went back-to-back, and nobody ever talked about it again.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great point by you and Dan. And Andy Reid is the picture-perfect example. I mean, here's a guy that went to one Super Bowl. He went to five conference championship games with the Eagles, most of them in a row, and only won one of those conference championship games when getting to that one Super Bowl, and didn't win the Super Bowl. And there were, in all those losses, whether it was in the Super Bowl the first time against New England or the other times in the NFC title games, there was stuff like this that came up where the Eagles just were not prepared whatsoever. And he took those lumps for a long, long time until recently.
Well, it's interesting because I was listening to somebody today on a radio show, and they said, what's the secret to Andy Reid's success? I'm over here like going, well, let's start with Patrick Mahomes. Like, the door to opportunity certainly opens up a lot wider when you've got that guy that you're coaching to go with your coaching ability.
That's true. But here's also this, too, with this, Steve, is let's remember the guy who really started the spearhead is our man Brett Veach, and Andy Reid was the one that says yes. Sometimes not a lot of head coaches like Andy, in the spot like Andy Reid is, where you're in charge of personnel, when they have the final say, won't listen to people. Part of being a good head coach is sometimes listening to people, especially if they are really persevering about a guy like Brett Veach was with Patrick Mahomes. So you got to give him credit there on that, too.
No question. Now, Hassan Reddick wants to quit.
Yeah, so let's go there with that one. You know, Howie Roseman, let me just, before I go and rip him to shreds here, he's done a great job. Now, this year was not great by any means, but in recent years, obviously, with the Eagles' success and getting to two Super Bowls in the last 5 years, that's a pretty good job. And, you know, take a look at the A.J. Brown trade, whatever. But the fact that he said that the Eagles, apparently, this was according to John Clark of NBC Sports Philly, that apparently the Eagles don't want to put any more money on the defensive line, so that's why they're letting Reddick seek a trade. I'm sorry. First of all, number one, that goes against organizational philosophy. I thought it's about building within the trenches, and that's the way it should be. It's absolutely right. That's one of the one things I've always enjoyed about this organization is because they build everything the right way via the trenches. So guess what? You need to still take care of those spots because guess what, Harry? I don't know if you were paying attention the last half of the season during this collapse, but the defensive line was a major reason for it. And then second of all, Hassan Reddick is a guy that you need to pay, period, regardless of whatever position he is, whatever type of priority you have for that position. If the guy's putting up numbers the way he has the last couple of years, you sign him. You find a way to sign him and pay the man. I don't care what the circumstances are, you get that done. So I was very disappointed to hear that from Howie Roseman because, A, it goes against organizational philosophy, but B, it fails to recognize what exactly this guy has meant to the Eagles the last two seasons.
Well, okay, so let me address that for a second. When you are in a position, and San Francisco's in that position right now, what's one of the biggest pluses John Lynch has at the moment? His quarterback is on a seventh-round contract. At some point, Brock Purdy will no longer be on a seventh-round contract, but we're not at that point yet. When that happens, you've got a lot of financial flexibility. The Eagles had their quarterback on a second-round contract. Okay? Oh, geez. I mean, what's going on? It's a daycare center there? What's happening? I mean, come on.
you know, Luke insisted on hanging out in Daddy's office for a little bit. I said, okay, as long as you're quiet, but what do I get? Mower sounds in the background.
It's fine. It's better than what the dad's giving us. So, it's... just kidding. All right. But now you have a quarterback because you had to pay him. So this is not a knock at all on Jalen Hurts, because at some point you had to pay him. But every organization that ends up having to pay them now has to do a financial gymnastics to then make the rest of the roster fit. Suddenly Tyreek Hill is in Miami, right? You're telling me that trading him is a great idea? They had to trade him because their quarterback was taking up so much. Now they're going to restructure Mahomes' contract. But that was always the key to the Patriots' success. Brady never operated in New England at a top-shelf quarterback number. And it gave the Patriots all the flexibility in the world to then shape a roster. That's not happening in today's NFL. Russell Wilson, who had been a third-round pick in Seattle, took advantage of it. Once he started getting paid a lot of money, Seattle was good in a playoff team, but they weren't a Super Bowl team anymore. Now he's in Denver commanding a huge number, and it's a struggle for them on roster construction. So that is actually part of the problem that the Eagles have to deal with right now, is how much of a number the quarterback is, and it's not the quarterback's fault. But that's still a number you have to work around.
Yeah, no, it's a good point, and you bring up Tyreek Hill being one. But the Chiefs still, now they're not using a lot of these contracts, and this is what the Eagles need to do, is you have to find a way to bring guys in and make it work that can continue to carry the load while working around the big contract of your quarterback. Wow. The Chiefs have been able to do that. They're the only team in the NFL they've been able to do that.
Okay, you're telling me Valdes-Scantling was a great replacement for Tyreek Hill? You're telling me that Watson was a great replacement for Tyreek? I mean, look, they're just guys. They drafted
Really. Well, you know what? It worked. They made it work because of it. This is where Andy Reid comes in, as far as game plan and the creativity and all that. That's what made those guys work. But you're right. They're just guys. They're not going to replace anybody. I mean, MBS was terrible until the Super Bowl. He had a pretty good game. Other than that, he wasn't that great a player either. But, Chiefs have found a way to make it work, though. They're the only team they've been able to make it work, and that's what the Eagles have to do.
But they weren't making it. Their defense made it work. They reworked their entire defense. That's the second youngest defense age-wise in the NFL. But the Chiefs struggled offensively almost all season because they kept having drops. And despite having the best quarterback in the game, and he is the best quarterback in the game, they went how many quarters without a touchdown in the postseason? I mean, or how many series in a row? How many series in a row did they go without a touchdown? They didn't score a touchdown the last half against Baltimore. They didn't score a touchdown the first half against San Francisco. I mean, and they had to rework an entire offensive line. But it's how much you pay the quarterback is then tells you what your flexibility number is for the rest of the roster.
Well, that's why Brett Veach has three rings and Howie has one.
Well, do your kids have anything else to say?
I think we're good now, yeah.
You sure?
Luke's going to come back out with me and figure out if I can get my snowblower to work.
Here's one for you. Hey, grab a shovel, kid. Start going. Hey, this is where you can really start earning your keep at the house.
That's exactly what we're going to be doing next.
Perfect. How many inches of snow you guys get?
I'm guessing around 6-7-ish, something like that. I haven't officially measured yet.
Yeah, we got 3.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Great new inventory, best warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. and a terrific service department that backs it up. Routine, difficult, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. I thought when Matt's son jumped in there, I felt like everything went in a positive direction at that point.
We just should have started talking to him. Hi, Luke.
How's everything going, little guy? Right? Is mommy really the key person in the house? Okay.
Actually, the best thing would have been if he would have went on a Nick Sirianni rant then.
Oh, that would have been great. Yeah. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. All of a sudden, little Luke, instead of spelling Eagles, right, he could have spelled N-I-C, Nick. Right? And then that would have really made Matt mad. Because Sirianni is off his Christmas list.
I think they have to give him another chance, Dad.
Yeah. Oh. And suddenly out of nowhere, the dinner table has nothing in it. Oh, that would be a... Actually, I'd buy a ticket for that.
So would I.
Yes, I would buy a ticket for that. Okay. So yesterday, of course, was the day after the Super Bowl. Should it be a holiday?
I think for the last 3 years, Sealensgrove School District's actually had the Monday after Super Bowl off. They've made sure it's been an Act 180 day at least the last 2 years. So I go yes.
You know what? In the vast, vast majority of my career, I would have absolutely said no. Go to work. But you know what? As somebody who's been the one that's gone out and gone to work every day, and I don't take a lot of days off. I think people listening to this show realize I don't take many days off. The suit takes the month of July off for his birthday. I'm like, what are we doing here? Because he gets all sorts of discounts. I have changed my mind on that. You know what? I don't mind having days off here and there. And I probably... this will make the people in the front office go, whoa, what? I probably should be taking a few off more here and there than I'm working right now here. That's just me. They will vehemently disagree with me on that. Because, I mean, how many days off do I take from this show a year?
I would say holidays and travel days.
I mean, so what, 10?
Not many.
Right? And I've changed my mind about that stuff. Not about games. Games are different. Games have always been completely different to me. To me, what I am and what I do is about the games I broadcast. This is great. I have a lot of fun with it, and I know this is something I do every day. But I've changed my mind about it after doing it year after year after year after year. I mean, I'm the guy that comes. 21 years I did morning radio. Okay, well, I was the guy that kept showing up. You know, there's 2 feet of snow, and I'm not joking about that. 2 feet of snow. And I'm still the one that's at work telling everybody they don't have to go. Like, okay, great. Like, really? And there, you do get to a point like, hey, wait a minute. You know what? So if they want to give us the day after the Super Bowl off, good. Even though there's a lot to talk about yesterday, I'm fine with it. Arbor Day, I'll work. President's Day, I'll work. But... I was like, because I'm putting in a lot of hours in my lifetime.
I think that's one of the better things over the last 10 years is people realizing that there probably has to be a little bit more work life balance than there was before.
Yeah, and I mean there are a couple of things in the off season like I want to do. A couple things in the offseason I'd like to do travel-wise, you know, that I haven't really had a chance to do. Now, for anybody sitting there saying, oh, what's he doing with the show? I'm going to be here every day, you know that. I'm just saying, once in a great while, I would like maybe take a couple days just to do something. I mean, even a few years ago, I went and visited my son. No, it was last year. I finally got a chance last summer to see my son's new house for the first time. And, of course, what did I do? I did the show upstairs in the house. That's what I'm talking about.
I thought maybe this is the preface to where you start. You're going to tell us you're backpacking across Europe this summer.
Yeah, right. Hey, look, everybody, it's the Alps. What do you say? What do you say we climb? How about, like, no? Yeah, this isn't the Iger sanction. Okay. Hey, all right. This is great. What the heck? Let's see. Was that Eastwood in the Iger sanction?
I believe so.
So Eastwood's in the Iger sanction. And then Roger Moore as Bond. And I'm trying to remember which. I think it's For Your Eyes Only, where he's got to scale up the side of it. Like, wow, you got to be kidding me. No, I'm not backpacking across Europe. No, especially not now. We're not backpacking across Europe now. I'm just saying, take a couple days. Go someplace. Do something. All right? But, you know, that's, you know. I put in a lot of hours. Games? No. Games are totally different. Completely different. But, you know. So I understand where people are coming from when they talk about that balance. Because I've never had that balance.
Having a little kid has kind of, I don't want to say forced that balance a little bit more, but it has made me more aware of sometimes about how much I work and maybe I should take a bit of a break for a day or two.
Oh, you mean your little kid? I thought you were talking about this. I thought you were talking about working at the station with the suit.
Oh.
Okay. It's too easy sometimes.
Yeah. I left that hole wide open.
It's too easy. And we got Neil Coulong here coming up as well. I just want to remind everybody of that. Was Neil, what, 206 today?
Neil is 206, yes.
Yeah, good. But that's, you know, that balance is there. I mean, is there. Like, for example, in this stretch, like Penn State played Sunday. All right. So, well, I mean, you know, what was I doing Saturday? Well, I was traveling. So I haven't had a day off since when? Like, an, you know, like day off? Jeez, I don't know. So I guess it was probably the Sunday. So so now you get this game set. So I'll go 13 straight days. See, that's what I'm talking about. It's not me complaining. It's just over time. You're like, hey, you know what? I punch in and out every day. It's like I don't see everybody else around me punching in and out every day. So, you know, I mean, think of all the things you've covered in your career where you had to like go extra days, extra hours.
A lot, and honestly, it's a little calmer right now. My busy time is football season.
Yeah, high school football, college football.
Actually, it's mostly high school for me because I'm our high school football writer now. But, you know, right now it's just games and desk shifts and this. And this feels easy without doing all the football stuff around it.
Yeah, right. No, I understand that. You know, and I'm sure once we get to high school season, again, you're trying to couple this show with doing that. You know, it'll bring with it challenges.
Yeah. It's weird. I have always worked two jobs. I have always been at the paper and somewhere else. So I was used to it, but I haven't for like maybe 10 years. So now it was just a matter of figuring out when I was going to catch my little nap between things. That was my biggest deal.
So, well, for 21 years, I was working at a radio station here doing morning. And I then in the afternoons worked at WPSX-TV while also doing a side football show on WHVL while, of course, doing the Penn State Football Network, the Basketball Network. I was doing for 2007 to maybe, I don't know, I guess finally 19 or whatever. I was doing some like 4 to 5 events a year on Big Ten Network. Plus, I was doing the spikes. So I've always been go, 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 go. Well, Penn State football, basketball, spikes. I love sitting there doing a game. That's enjoyment for me. It may be work, but that is enjoyment for me in terms of a work deal. So that's not even remotely an issue. But, man, there have been some times where I have come back from games at 3 in the morning, and, I've got to go into work. And I only got back at 3, and I'm on the air at 6. Like, oh, brutal. Like, drag yourself in. Let's go.
And you don't drink. You're not a caffeine guy either, are you?
Oh, yeah, no, I'll drink coffee. All right. No.
I don't know how you do that without coffee.
No. I'd say most, I'd say half and half. Sometimes it's one cup, every once in a while, two.
I'm more on the pot schedule than it is cup.
A pot versus cup. Yes. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, the guy, like Sunday morning, we're out there, and I do the pregame with Mike, and I did it Sunday morning right before breakfast. And I just poured coffee, and Mike had just had an omelet made for him. And we walk out into the hallway to do the pregame, and Mike looks at me and goes, "Mike Rose with Steve Jones, we're going to get this done fast. My omelet's getting cold, and Steve's coffee is starting to chill." I said, "Yeah." I said, "This will be your classic one question and gone." Yeah, but we were kidding. Yeah, I mean, but we can kid around with each other like that. We have, you know, Mike and I get along great. So, but that's, but yeah, I'll have one. And then occasionally two. Okay, what is this story? I'm just checking this out. Wichita police. Let's see what this is, a sports related story on ESPN. Oh, Ed, this is the Jackie Robinson statue.
Yeah.
Guy named Ricky Aldretti, 45, charged with felony theft, aggravated criminal damage to property. Hmm. Wow.
I did see that they got enough money to rebuild it after what they found it burning in a dumpster.
Well, they say the statue was cut at its ankles, leaving only the bronze replicas of Robinson's cleats behind. Now, it sounds like they cut it just to get rid of it. And 95% of it's copper. Yeah, what kind of damage was done to it? Sounds like you got it right. They said 2 days after, fire crews found burning remnants of the statue while responding to a trash can fire at another park 7 miles away. They got $300,000 in donations. And even though the artist has already passed away, the original mold of the statue exists and will be used by Art Castings of Colorado to rebuild a new one.
So somebody stole it to sell it for copper?
Who knows? I don't know what they're doing. Nobody knows. I mean, they cut it all up. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, in a coordinated effort among its clubs, Major League Baseball will pay for it after several teams and individuals throughout the sport had wanted to help. So they got $300,000 in donations, but now Major League Baseball is doing the right thing and saying, hey, we'll do it. So here we are. Today is the 30th anniversary, by the way, of John Chaney charging into the UMass media room going after John Calipari. Right? It really is the kind of thing that should be recognized. All right, we'll come back more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. an air guitar to this. Nothing like it. Every once in a while, like as he's moving, it actually is the correct chord. Some call it an accident. All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street at Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We never really talked about it, but the Travis Kelce, Andy Reid thing, you got to give Andy credit, because I think he handled it pretty well. He knows how valuable his guy is, and instead of, you know, freaking out on somebody, he's like, yeah, I got you. I hear you. Right, move on. Sometimes you have to handle it that way.
I think that's probably not the first time that's happened either. It might be the bumping part of him might be, but, I mean, we saw him scream at Andy earlier this year. I have less of a problem with it in the context of a game because it's competition, and sometimes your emotions get the better of you. I mean, you see it on the field. Sometimes you see it off the field. He only had one catch for 1 yard in the first half. You know, he might have been right with the way he played in the second half.
Well, maybe, except Dre Greenlaw got hurt.
Well, that helped too.
When Greenlaw went out of the game, a lot of things changed for Travis Kelce and the Chiefs. And that's with all due respect to Burks and so forth. I mean, and look, I always have understood the next man up idea, because somebody has to play. So you need their best, right? No matter what. But there is a reason the other guy's starting. there's probably a list of reasons why the other guy is starting.
Well, I think what made him upset was one of the backup tight ends missed a block on the play before.
He did.
And yeah. I think he was more upset about that than he was about not actually getting the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah. So that's that probably has something to do with it, because was that the Pacheco play where he fumbled?
Yes.
Yeah, and it was a complete miss. And it's interesting. You think about the mistakes Kansas City made in the game, but here's the part that nobody's talked about. I haven't heard very many people talk about. What was each team on third down? San Francisco was 3 of 12 on third down. The Chiefs were 9 of 19 on third down. And San Francisco, for the most part, was the better team up front on both sides of the ball. But that third down part, that's a big part of this game. And that does go to Patrick Mahomes, Brock Purdy. That is the difference in the game. 3 of 12 and 9 of 19.
We also talked about them going away from the run in the third quarter and some of the play calls. I saw today that they had 1 yard on first, or the 49ers had 1 yard on first down, combined on first downs in the third quarter.
Right, because that 1 yard was the yard that on the one running play.
Mm-hmm.
They missed, because in that game, Purdy actually went into a little bit of a slump. Now, a couple of them were terrific plays by the Kansas City secondary. That Kansas City secondary is really, really good. But 3 of 12 on third down, 9 of 19 on third down for Kansas City. That becomes a big difference. And Kansas City converted on fourth down as well, including the game-winning drive. What do you think about the overtime? I like the fact that both teams got the ball. That I do like.
I don't mind it. It was obviously made because, the change was made because, Josh Allen didn't get the ball back essentially in that playoff game a couple years ago. But, I liked it. Once I realized that they were going to the second overtime, whether the Chiefs scored or not, I saw there was a lot of people that didn't realize that, so I don't feel so bad. But it's one of those things where as long as it's fair to determine a winner, I don't really care. You know, it's not like soccer where they went to penalty kicks. You know, they played the actual game. They played the whole field. That's my only problem with the college and the high school rule, but I also get that part of it, too, that you can't, you know, you can't have those kids be playing all those extra plays to determine a winner in a full-on overtime.
Well, I hate the two-point thing. I think, you know, as somebody who's done the 9 overtime game, I thought it was stupid to be, if you want a blunt word about it. But in college, both teams get the ball. It's guaranteed. You play college basketball, it's 5 extra minutes, you've got your shots. The NBA, you got 5 extra minutes, you've got your shots. You go 3-on-3 in overtime in the NHL, at least you've got your shots, okay? It's not a shot or anything like that. In baseball, each team gets an at-bat in extra innings, okay? The NFL was the only one that did not have you getting the opportunity where it was guaranteed both teams had the ball when every other sport, everybody has the ball at some point.
Yeah, and I mean, it worked out. I mean, I don't think you could have gotten a better overtime than they got Sunday either.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. But I want to talk to, by the way, 1,000 dual meet wins for Penn State Wrestling. They routed Rutgers in the Jordan Center last night, 35-3. 1,000 dual meet wins.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.